So we know that Rosh Hashanah introduces 10 days of penitence. And to some extent, we can see a parallel between the 10 days of penitence and the Aseres HaDibros, the 10 commandments. We know that Anuchi v'Elohi Lecha, the first two, is acceptance of God, Hashem, faith in Him, and its corresponding aspect of the complete unity and uniqueness of Hashem, there's no other God, no Elohim Achirim. So these two belong together. These are some extent of the highest level because they represent the word of Hashem which came directly to the people. So these are reflected in the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And the Shabbat, which comes in the 10 days, reflects the Shabbat. And some say Yom Kippur, which is the day of fasting, corresponds to Lo Tachmod. You shouldn't covet. In other words, our faith should be so strong that we should accept whatever lot Hashem has given us. That's our task and mission in life. And we shouldn't go after our self-centered animalistic instincts to go and be jealous of others. The keeper is there to purify the inner character on the highest level. That's why we cut ourselves off from more materialistic pleasures. Not that this is an end in itself, but since it's this which entices often to be jealous of others and to have the desire to take things from others. So this is going right to the root of the problem. Of course, the big question is, how can a person stop himself from feeling jealousy and avarice? It's not so difficult for us to understand we've got freedom of will to control our actions. We're not going to rob others. But to stop ourselves having desires, it is something marvelous which our fellow man has and we don't. How can you do it? So they say Anochi and Otakmon are closely connected. If one recognizes Hashem, He looks after each person, gives him his task. The strength of faith is proven to the extent to which a person can even control his desires. So, on the base of this, we have a special significance of Shabbat Shuvah. To some extent, every Shabbat should be a return to Hashem. But the Shabbat Shuvah reading from the prophets is a reference to Shuvah of the whole nation, and you'll find it in the 14th and last chapter of the book of Hosea, which is Jerusalem Bible 684. And there Hosea says, O Israel, Shuvah ad Hashem Elokecha. You should return until Hashem. What you stumble, you have shalta babunecha. Zuchuim achem devarim. Take words with you. Veshuvu el Hashem. And turn to Hashem and say to Him, Kol tisa avon mekach tov. Please forgive iniquity and take that which is good. On neshama farim tzvateinu. And our lips will offer words instead of calves. We're not in a position to bring animal offerings, but we can offer our animal self through our prayers. Now, to analyze these words a bit more deeply, according to the way it's described by our sages, you see in the first verse it says, Ad Hashem. The second verse it says, Shuvu El Hashem. It doesn't say, Lokecha. Then, there's an apparent contradiction. Hashalta Mista stumble by mistake. Avon is used constantly for intentional sin. When we say in the confession, Hatati Aviti Pashati, so Chet is missing the mark, is an unwitting sin. Aviti is intentional, and Pashati is rebellion, more than intention. So why did it say here, Kashalta, which is Shogeg, and Avonecha, which is Mesir. So the sages say, there's a Teshuvah, which a person does out of awe or fear, either fear of punishment, or he doesn't want to go to Gehinnom, doesn't want to experience. As a nation, we don't want to experience the attacks of our enemies against us. So we think, well, let's turn to Hashem. Maybe you protect us. In fact, he seems to be protecting us quite a lot of late. But at times he doesn't protect us. So the sages, that the prophet says here, I think he's speaking mainly about the nation as a whole, and he says, you look in different directions to find fulfillment and to be protected. So this type of teshuvah, which reaches to Hashem, you say, Elokecha, Hashem is midat rachamim, the quality of love, Elokecha, the quality of justice. So Hashem sometimes shows us strict justice and apparent warnings and punishments. So it says, because you made a mistake, and your sins have been intentional. So the sages say, if a person does teshuvah, that or not, intentional sins are transformed into unwitting sins. They're no longer intentional. But now you understand that what you did was wrong, and you've gone in the right direction, and you regret the wrong that you've done. And therefore, retroactively, it does transform the previous intentional sins into unintentional ones. But, and the top prophet says, go a stage further. Kui machem tevarim. This is a teshuvah, because you made mistakes. And you wonder what right the mistakes. And you realize the mistakes are all sorts of matters. But there's another aspect of teshuvah. Because this first teshuvah only reaches Ad Kisei HaKavod. You get nearer to Hashem. You can almost reach Him. But Ad V'lo Ad B'chlav. You're not yet united with Hashem. That can only come if you take words with you. That means if you learn Torah. And you throw yourself into learning the words of Hashem. That is revealed in the Tanakh, the Bible. That is revealed to us in the fantastic wealth of wisdom in the sayings of our sages. And you can begin to love it and enjoy it. And you see this is an experience of constantly learning, constantly stretching your mind, constantly stretching your mind in matters that purify your emotions and bring you to a higher level of living, where you find that all your relationships with other people are also transformed to a love of the Torah, which brings to a love of man and a love of Hashem. And then Shuvah El Hashem, then you can unite with Hashem. Because El is much closer relationship than ours. So that's why it says Hashem only. Because then you feel that even if Hashem sometimes brings to us tragedies and situations that cause us even depression or whatever, cause us problems, we know that He is with us. And we're able to overcome it. And that's Imru Elav. You can speak to Him. Speak to Hashem. What can you say? Kol Tisa Avon. Tisa is the word that's used. Nose Avon. You lift up the sin. You take the power of sin, which governed your life before, and you use all the energy used for sinfulness, now becomes an incentive and a trigger to get you involved with Hashem, and now you concentrate on picking up everything that is virtuous and good. So it transforms the negative into something positive. The negative experience you had before become now enormous energy for you to put things right. I mean, take an example, maybe some of you read his books, from Uri Zohar, who was for a time in Israel the star comedian, and on all the mass media, and he made fun especially also of the religion, because he was raised in such an environment. And then he did Teshuvah, and we've got a book here, it's also in English, I think, Choose Life, I think it's called, and he now, I mean, already for decades, has dedicated himself with such enthusiasm to the mitzvot and to learning and to encourage others to go in that direction. He uses his dramatic and we could even say his comedian talents and use them to show the enormous joy of life that comes through a Torah learning and living. And the ribs are filled with praises of Hashem. And then I'll skip a few verses but they're all really interrelated, and especially it's a great message for the people of Israel today, because we do see all over the country at the grassroots level there's an enormous joy of living a Torah life, growing. Also in those circles who had no connection, nearly all of the kibbutzim two generations ago did not have a synagogue, didn't use it, and were not interested in religion. In all of them now there's a return from some of the members, the younger members especially. And it's going through the country. And let's go a little further. It says in verse 6, and Hashem is saying, or in verse 5, it says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them. If they do tshuva out of love, I will love them. And my anger goes away from them. I'll be as the Jew to the people of Israel. And they will blossom like the lily and cast forth his roots like the Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be like the olive tree and his fragrance like the Lebanon. They who dwell in his shadow shall return. They shall revive like corn and blossom like the vine. So there, I'm just going to explain a few phrases. We're going to have now the 10 days known as Yamim Noraim, the days of awe, because the major atmosphere and element of the solemn season is indeed one of awe. And sometimes one has to develop the awe in front of Hashem to its highest potential in order to reach the next level. because this is followed by 10 days of rejoicing. Because after these 10 days, what do? We get take the four species, we decorate the sukkah, accompanied by a lot of music. Then it comes to Sukkot itself. We enjoy ourselves with the best food and with dancing and singing and Simchat Beit HaShoevah. So this is the area of Ahitach Samech, the Samachtim B'chagecha, of Simcha. And what is this? What this is referred to in this verse? It says, "Those who dwell in His shade, they will do teshuvah." And sages say, the sukkah is in fact called, both in the Tanakh and words of the sages, the shade or the shadow of faith. When we sit in the sukkah, we're sitting in the shade of Hashem, and in that shade we feel the highest joy. That's why it said, this will bring the greatest joy, and the symbol of joy throughout the Tanakh, as we know, is wine. And says Yifruch HaGofen, there's an interesting aspect concerning Dagan and Yain referred to here, Dagan and Gefen. We know with all the brachot that we say that on fruit we say Bore Pri Ha'etz, and what happens on fruit juice, what do we say?
Shakol.
So which is the higher level of bracha?
Fruit.
Fruit, more specific. What are the exceptions to produce? There's two exceptions.
Grain juice.
Yes, there's two exceptions. This one is grain, and the other one is when the grain. Let's say when a person actually just eats grains, you should say shehako.
Grain.
The lowest level, because we're plenty even these days that eat grains. When you make
like
it,
granola.
Granola is more complex. If the grain is mixed up with other things, it becomes more like a cake. We say mezonot, a higher level of blessing. And if it's made into bread, what do we say? What's elechem? So therefore, this is we're improving on nature. The natural, with all other fruits, the natural state is better than the one which introduces food manufacture. Because on a raw orange, you'll say, "Hey," when you make it into orange juices, you'll say, "Shehako." So it's a low bracha. But with grain, it's different, and with wine, it's different. Because on grapes you say Bore Pri Ha'etz, but on wine you say Bore Pri HaGofen. So the idea is like this, it's a bit deeper concept. Teshuvah Me'ava. If Teshuvah, because it's supposed to be Teshuvah Me'ava, represented by Sukkot, transforms all previous sins into something positive. That's why the Baal Teshuvah considered greater, a BT greater than FFB, because the Baal Teshuvah, he's tasted the taste of sin and he feels that it's brought him right down, and therefore now he has a big spurt in the opposite direction, so therefore it pushes him upwards. So therefore that comes, but also comes through the power of Torah. Person learns Torah with joy, so it transforms everything that's been given. This is why they who lachmo belachmi, ushtu beyen masachti. All throughout the Tanakh, especially the book of Proverbs, also elsewhere, bread is reference to the staple spiritual diet of learning Torah. And wine is a special simcha shel mitzvah. Especially elements of joy which you introduce into learning, into growing and learning, and into mitzvot. So all mitzvot give you the ability to transform your lower nature to its highest potential. And that comes from Tshuva Me'ava. So this is referred to here. Hashem says, when you express the highest level of love, then all your previous weaknesses and sinfulness and materialism can all be used to the highest level. And that's represented especially by wine, Tichukiye Levanon. And this is the concept of Tshuva Me'ava, which is something which you should aim for and work for starting Yamim Noraim. It's well known there was today also some Magidim, but the greatest Magid in the previous 200 years is known as the Dubna Magid. Most of his parables have been translated into many languages and is still being republished constantly. So he gives a beautiful example like this, that there was the most precious diamond which somebody found, and they tried to polish it, but it had some sort of a crack in it, and all the diamond polishers tried to remove this crack, because as it had this crack in the middle, and it as a result didn't have much value. They couldn't do it, found it very difficult. Until there came a special artist, and what did he do? It was an ugly crack, but he was able somehow to transform that ugly crack into a fantastic design. So he made a design out of the crack. So once when it was cracked, it was worth, let's say, $10,000, but once he made the design, it became worth $10 million. Yeah, I love that diamond that was stolen a few weeks ago in Europe. Yeah, from Levia, the biggest diamond in value robbery.
Yeah.
Does he find? They found it yet? No. Anyway, it became. It reached the highest value. So this is, you know, to some extent. Every Jew is a diamond. Yeah, not always. And sometimes the diamond is cracked. Yeah, you've got a mind for the diamond first of all to find him. If you dig deep, you'll find that every Jew is a diamond. But so frequently they're cracked. But if you put a poor design on it in the right way, then on the contrary, the crack itself will bring the highest level. That's what you understand. Really, this is a principle in life. The person shouldn't think that if he sinned, if he's done evil, and he's got some sort of certain aspect of feeling, a certain aspect of being broken, that being broken can become the highest level. It'll cause him, if he said, I've got to get rid of this broken, it'll give him energy, he'll get over it and reach a much higher level. This is an important principle in life. Never to let difficulties stand in your way, but rather try to overcome them, and that way you become a greater person. Because if a person, Hashem especially sends us challenges, as is expressed in the famous, this poem. We should know that the greatest non-Jewish minds have gained fantastic inspiration from Jewish wealth. So there's a poem of Robert Browning, who studied the Talmud, also the Midrash. It's called Rabbi Ben Ezra. And it begins with these words. Then, welcome each rebuff that turns earth's smoothness rough, that bids neither sit nor stand, but go. The best is yet to come. So that's how we've got to treat life. That's the rhythm of life. That's why Hashem says, sometimes we just, you know, carry on and on and on, and we're not changing ourselves. So sometimes it's not easy for us to change ourselves. So Hashem puts in the position of tests. He said, look, you've got to change yourself. Either you'll fall, you'll stay down, or you'll say, no, I'm not going to fall, I'm going to get up. So therefore I say, life is an obstacle race. That's it. Hashem gives the obstacles, the difficulties. If you come overcome those obstacles, you reach a higher level. So let us all hope, we should all go from Teshuva Me'ira to Teshuva Me'ava, and reach the highest level, Yitz Hashem, to make a change in ourselves, which also creates a change in those with whom we're connected, and that in Yitz Hashem, the whole world will change.
My joy in learning Torah returns to me. Since I joined this yeshiva, the joy in learning Torah returns to me. I only experienced that overseas. And when I went to places here, it's all din. It's all about din. It's like here, the aspect of Chavas HaDaas is giving the turn to the learning, which exactly knew why the aspects of learning in this.